Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Welcome, fellow foodies, to another delicious hour on radio. In fact, it's the most delicious hour on radio that you can in here every Saturday at 4 o'clock right here on KNST AM 790. Matt Russell broadcasting live from the epicenter of happiness for all of you beer enthusiasts and craft beer nuts who actually love your way around a gorgeous craft beer. When we're thinking about gorgeous and craft beer, the pathway this Saturday leads right to the heart of it all, Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Tool, just south of downtown. We're seeing fist bumps, we're seeing high fives, we're seeing cheers, and you know what? It's all about Dennis Arnold, because he's our celebrity co-host for the full hour. Dennis, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful, Matt. Thank you so much for having me here in my own brewery.
Well, look, we absolutely love just to kick it back with you for an hour, every so often, finding out about the latest on your, landscape of action. But, you know, this day is a fun day indeed, because we are now launching for the first time right here in Southern Arizona a new book that just came out by the Honorable Ed Sipos called Brewing Arizona, A Century of Beer in the Grand Canyon State, and it's being launched right here at Barrio. I mean, how exciting.
It is an amazing book. This is how I've made my living and my life for so long. When I read this book, I realized just how little I knew about the people that came before me.
You know, well, Ed's here. He's signing autographs. He's posing for pictures. He's going to be doing a lecture on the book right here. He's going to be doing a book signing right here. And look, this book is so spectacular. It belongs on the coffee table of every beer enthusiast across the country, not just here in the Grand Canyon State. When this book arrived in the mail, Dennis, I opened it up, and, you know, I didn't know really what to think. I didn't have any, you know, glorious expectations for what this book was going to be about. But this is, I mean, anyone who's a history buff, you don't even have to be a beer history buff. This is just like the granddaddy literary work.
It is a coaster for a 12-pack. It is packed with so much information. It boggled my mind. It goes back to the start of brewing in Arizona, which is everything great in Arizona started in Tucson in 1862.
Wow. All the way back to 1862. As a matter of fact, I think that was one of our trivia questions last time we were on the show. You know, Southern Arizona has a lot to be proud of in Arizona brewing history.
Absolutely.
So, before we sit down with Ed, and in fact, let me just give our foodie listeners, I said foodie John Farlow, have a beer. And I'm keeping track. Before we really engage in what's been going on in your life and talk a little bit more about Ed, I want to tease our foodie listeners about who our upcoming guest is going to be. You know, no conversation about Arizona beer would be complete without a pioneer in her own right from the Clemens family, Kimberly Clemens from Golden Eagle Distributors. She's here, Dennis, and she's going to be on the show today.
She never comes out of her palace.
We're going to be asking the hard questions today, Dennis, of Kimberly Clements. Anyway, it's an honor to be in the same room with Kimberly. And now, I know you and Kimberly really rarely travel together for national security purposes. So the fact that you're in the same room at the same time is quite striking.
It's the size of her entourage.
But anyway, congratulations. What's been going on in the world of Barrio these days? I'm drinking, let me just say, for the first time, I've not yet held in my hand a pint of the Blanco, the Barrio Blanco. When did you roll out this beautiful nectar?
The Blanco is the seventh child out of our Cyclops project, which is a single hop project we started some months back. We got where we wanted to with it about 2 months back. Now we're trying to bring it down to keep the same amazing flavor and hop, but bring the alcohol down to 5% and make it a sessionable, so you can drink this baby all day long.
And that's what I intend to do. We're going to be here all night long. It's a gorgeous Blanco, and it looks like you, what are you having today?
I am going back and forth. We're morphing the Rojo with the amber right now. So these are more like wild, you know, with like Frankenstein's stepchild Halloween themes here.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, the fall time, you know, I do have to remind our listeners, our foodie listeners, John Farlow, I said foodie. I have to remind our foodie listeners that, yes, indeed, even though it is 83 degrees, it is the fall months, and we're thinking about seasonals, and we're thinking about changing things up a little bit, you know, going a little bit darker. And I noticed that you actually have, is the Mocha Java Stout on tap here, Dennis Arnold?
It is, I think, the 11th version of it, and it's going to be the last. I think we have now found Nirvana. First outs.
And so what goes into the process for, I mean, when I have the Mocha Java Stout, I don't know, on the fifth iteration, sixth iteration, I can't imagine that it can get any better. You know, this is a tried and true recipe, and you've absolutely nailed it. What makes the perfect combination of all the elements, of all the ingredients in this gorgeous beer?
We've changed the coffee on it, and we've changed the ground on the coffee, and we've changed the quantity of coffee. The chocolate has always been very good in it. This time around, we've been cold steeping a ton of coffee in a 40-gallon kettle full of cold water. And the rules in the brewery, whenever you pass by the particular row of fermenters, you had to go over there and you had to teabag all the coffee bags three or four times as you walked around. Everybody's arms just reeked of coffee for three or four days. But it came to be the most mellow coffee flavor that pushed up against the lactose in it. And then the chocolate just was just – it's
just gorgeous.
I'm proud.
We're going to be putting those very bold words to the test as soon as this show is done because, you know, we've got some Mocha Java Stout enthusiasts who have made their way across town to put those words to the test. We're going to find out about it. Now I want to make sure I heard you right, Dennis Arnold. The ground of the coffee, the actual grind of the coffee,
huge
is going
difference.
To make a difference in how the beer renders at the end?
Absolutely huge difference.
I don't understand.
Anybody that brews with coffee knows that you can't boil it because then you get harshness. So it's a cold-pressed process. It started back in the 90s when we had a grinder down in Bisbee doing it for us. And then they would, like, cold, you know, do all this stuff for us. But it became a little bit unreliable because we'd be wanting to brew and they'd go, oh, we forgot. And then it moved down to Aravaca, to a roaster down there. Then we decided we'd better start doing this stuff ourselves. So we get somebody to roast, then we bring it in and we do all the treatments here.
Beautiful.
And it's hands-on.
Treatment and beer in the same sentence. I absolutely love it. So, look, last time we were here doing our show, I want to say it was sometime around March, April, and you were at the point where you had just finished installation of this grand beer production tank room. I mean, I don't know if there's a name for the room, but, you know, fast forward for our listeners, how are things going in these first few months of production?
Things are going amazing. Being 23 years in the brewing business, I felt I was just riding a bicycle up until this year, and now I actually... I've got a windshield with wipers, and I don't have to pedal, and it's just wow. I mean, it's a wonderful thing for me.
Yeah, and I tell you, every time we go into retail outlets and such, we're starting to see the Barrio Blonde in cans now. Congratulations!
Well, thank you. We've gotten through that, and the Blanco is actually the next thing that we're doing in cans, and then we'll be doing the Rojo as well. You know, we had to get down the mechanics of putting something in a really small package and wanting people to enjoy it, you know, 3 or 4 months into the future as good as it had. So we had to get a lab, and we had to get a technician, and we had to get a quality control thing. So that's where we are right now. I'm really confident in our product.
That's beautiful. And so what do the fall months look like for Dennis Arnold as we're getting into the fall months, into the holiday season? What can we expect at a Dennis Arnold and Barrio Brewing Company as we get colder?
Well, we're just coming out of our pumpkin porter, which was amazing, and now we have a ton of Jack Daniel's barrels loaded with our NCAA ale, which should be, the beer tells you when it's ready. You don't tell the beer, but my guess is it's going to be a hell of a Christmas present.
And were those Jack Daniel's barrels, were they seeping wet when they arrived?
Stupid seeping.
Anyway, Dennis Arnold, thank you so much for all you do in this community. We're going to catch up with you a little bit after the break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on KNST AM 790. We're talking about beer history. In fact, 100 years of rich and robust and rewarding history right here against the backdrop of this great book signing session. Ed Tsipas is here. Brewing Arizona is the hot new title. You need to come out here and get a copy or several for your family for the holidays. $30. It's normally a $40 book. Only $30 here. Have them sign it. You know, we'll have a beer, and you're going to make a lot of friends. You're listening to AM 790 KNST. Matt Russell on the Menu Live. We'll be right back.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Howe here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at Barrio Brewing Company. Of course, Barrio on 16th and Tool just south of downtown. Having a great time with my celebrity co-host for the full hour, the Honorable Dennis Arnold is here with us. Having a great time?
I am.
I mean, we're drinking beer?
I had to drive all the way across the brewery to get here, so...
You've worked up a thirst, Dennis Arnold. As I said before the break, fellow foodies and John Farlow, I've lost count at this point. I think we're up at a dozen by now, and we're only in segment number two, sir. Anyway, you'll have to send us an email.
Does
to
he have
find
to eat a
exactly
tapa every time you say foodie?
Yeah. He has a beer and he eats a tapa every time we say the word foodie. We're having a good time with John Farlow, our returning celebrity co-host in his own right from time to time. But as I said before the break, you know, no conversation, no dialogue, no experience, no encounter about Arizona beer history would be complete without bringing on someone who is a member of the pioneering Clemens family here in Southern Arizona, representing Golden Eagle Distributors. The lovely Kimberly Clements is in the house.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh my gosh, we've made her blush. She's blushing. I mean,
I wouldn't do that.
Where do we go from here? Anyway, Kimberly, it's always such a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Following you on Twitter, you know. And while we're here, let's let the world know your Twitter handle, because every time I get a tweet from you, it's like Pavlov's dog. I start getting thirsty. My mouth starts watering, and I want a beer. Is that how you roll? Is that your objective?
That's how I roll.
What's your Twitter handle, Kimberly?
It's KC Beer Chick.
KC Beer Chick. She's going to have a million followers by the end of the show.
I don't know. I don't want to know what K and C stand for, okay?
Well, a lot of people from Kansas City actually follow me, which is kind of interesting.
I was about to say, it's a family show, Dennis.
Yeah. Everybody has to have a niche.
But anyway, Golden Eagle Distributors, you know, proudly serving Southern Arizona and beyond in the beer world since
1974. And actually, before that, my grandfather actually started our first company in the 50s. And then our spinoff was Golden Eagle Distributors back in 1974, and started our headquarters here in Tucson, Arizona. And we have offices at Tucson, as I said, our headquarters, Casa Grande, Tempe, Buckeye, which is West Phoenix, Flagstaff, Sholo, and Globe.
Wow. I mean, just a constellation of Golden Eagle.
Yes.
Tour
to Arizona.
Yes,
1974. I thought I'd go around the table, and I'd like each of us to disclose how old we were in 1974.
I think I was graduating eighth grade. twice. 73 and 74.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Very good. Yeah,
I was good at it.
I'm going to skip that part. But anyway, I put my co-hosts on the spot. Anyway, 1974. So talk about Golden Eagle Distributors, you know, as a company. I mean, everybody knows Golden Eagle, certainly in this audience and beyond, the proud sort of, manifestation of the Anheuser-Busch brand right here in Southern Arizona. You know, we do love our Anheuser-Busch products. I mean, let's just be clear.
Yes.
But you also have associations and relationships with other craft brewers, you know, all over. Talk about Golden Eagle Distributors.
We do, and it's really nice. Next year we'll celebrate our 40th anniversary. I'm a third-generation beer girl, so to speak. As I said, my grandfather and then my father in the business. And we've created alliances with some really great breweries, such as Sierra Nevada and Odell, and obviously our friends, the Arnold family, right here in Tucson at Barrio.
Now he's blushing.
This is why I have to do the caveat, is that I had worked for Golden Eagle Distributing in 1980 in Flagstaff, Arizona, as the bud man on campus.
You got to be kidding me.
No, it's true. He used to work for my dad.
I signed a contract that said I had servitude to the family until I died.
So, yeah, he was part of the brew crew, which is how I got in the business. I did the exact same thing at the University of Arizona. So it's kind of serendipitous, isn't it?
Well, actually, I call it a very good time. How hard was it to say, hi, would you like a beer?
Yeah, I know. I made $50 a week and had an expense account to buy people beer. It was pretty awesome.
I had $50 and 10 cases of beer a week.
Right.
So family didn't get the deal I got. Now I'm feeling really good about myself.
Well, I miss my calling. So Golden Eagle, and again, a very cool corporate citizen in this community, always getting involved in community affairs and working with nonprofit organizations, and really as much a part of this Southern Arizona community as any company really that I know about. But so you get to get up every morning, every day, and think about beer. What's it like running this company?
I do. It's a great responsibility, but I have a lot of fun with it. All my friends are always like, I wish I had your job. You know, you get to drink beer and meet such incredible people and travel around the country and go to breweries and go to, you know, the Craft Brewers Conference or the Great American Beer Festival. And there's no other business like like the beer business. And I'm truly thankful and honored that I got into it, which was kind of by accident, actually. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Wow. Okay, and you said craft brewers, you know, the Arizona Craft Brewers Guild. Let's put our hats off to these guys because a great organization, you know, very much a partner of the Brewing Arizona book.
Yes.
You know, going to Washington, fighting for the rights of the craft brewers. You know, we did our broadcast out at the at Springfest celebrating Arizona craft beer. I mean, these are a great organization and great folks.
The guild here is very active, and they've done a tremendous job in supporting Ed on this wonderful book, Brewing Arizona. And if you haven't seen it or picked it up, it's absolutely amazing history of Arizona craft brewers, and it's just so awesome. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it.
Yeah, you're going to hear that coming up right after the bottom of the hour. We got 30 seconds before we go to a commercial break. Kimberly Clements, I'm going to put you on the spot. Top three beers, ready, go.
You know, I knew that you were probably going to ask me that question.
No, we've got 25 seconds left.
So what I'm drinking right now, I will tell you what I'm drinking right now because it all depends on what I'm going to eat. So right now I am having a Barrio Blanco, and I absolutely love this beer. It's one of Dennis's best.
I believe it. I'm having one
Everyone has to come and support local beer and Dennis Arnold and Barrio Brewing Company.
Very good. All right, so Barrio Blanco, that's number one. We're going to find out number two and number three after we come back from a commercial break. We're talking to Kimberly Clements of Golden Eagle Distributors in our On the Menu Live broadcast, special broadcast, Arizona Brewing History, 150 years of Arizona Brewing History, says Dennis Arnold. Don't go away. We're going to be right back on the other side.
Temperatures are finally dropping in Tucson, which means the perfect season for home entertaining. Why not transform your backyard into a destination for seasonal celebration, courtesy of Landscapes by Turf Tech. Imagine your home with a beautiful new courtyard, outdoor kitchen and bar, putting green or lawn turf, fire and water features, or maybe a koi pond, even LED low voltage lighting. The possibilities are endless, and no project is too small or too big. Call them today to discuss the personal mini vacation that your backyard can become within weeks. I made the call myself and urge you to do the same. Landscapes by Turf Tech, locally owned and operated for 17 years. Call the owner, Jack Hamilton, directly at 631-6080. That's 631-6080.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal, Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Tool.
Yay!
There's a lot of beer drinkers in the house, Dennis Arnold. I mean, you know, for a moment I thought I wanted to be Kimberly Clements for just like a day. That might disappoint a lot of her friends. But now, you know, everywhere you go, applause follows. I want to be Dennis Arnold for a day.
She had told me that just before she got here, she was dressed at the Green Lantern because she was at a kid's birthday party. I'm thinking superhero.
Superhero, right.
You know, it's a family show. It's a family show talking about alcohol.
And
yeah,
I was
going to
ask
awesome.
And I was going to ask what was on tap at the party, but you might not want to disclose.
There was nothing on tap
nothing
at the party.
On tap. It was juice boxes of plenty.
Yes.
Anyway, we're talking to Kimberly Clements as well from the great Arizona pioneering beer family, the Clements family with Golden Eagle Distributors. Now, we put her on the spot, fellow foodies. That's right, John Farlow. I said foodie. We put her on the spot. We said name three of her favorite beers, the top three of her beers. Now, of course, that list probably changes from hour to hour. And, oh, look, another Blanco just arrived.
Oh, you're so lucky. Oh,
Dos Blancos. I'm going to
Dos Blancos.
Anyway, so she answered number one. She said the Barrio Blanco. Was one of her top three, which I thought was a very politically correct way to answer
yes,
that question.
Absolutely.
Anyway, okay, so I concur. I think this is a gorgeous beer. You know, Dennis talked about bringing it down a little bit, making it a little bit more
versatile.
It's got a
great balance.
Beautiful
to it.
Balance to it, just like Dennis himself. You know, Dennis has great balance.
He does.
I've stayed on my bar stool this whole time. Thank you.
I was just going to say that.
So Barrio Blanco, I think a home run on the beer side. I'm loving it. Beautiful, crisp. I mean, it's the perfect beer for today.
Right.
You know, thinking, so we've nailed it today. You got two more left on the list.
You know, as I said, everyone always likes to ask me that question, what's my favorite beer? And it really changes from what I'm eating, where I am, what I'm doing, and also what I sell, obviously, is always my favorite. But right now I'm really into sours.
Right.
I love Belgian sours. I've really gotten into those recently. And also IPA, which is the fastest growing kind style of beer right now, different kinds of IPAs. I love trying IPAs at different breweries. So I am being a little bit politically correct about what I enjoy.
What she needs to say, it's probably a big-ass beer like Mercenary.
Oh, I love the Mercenary. Put that in the little sifter 10-ounce glass. It's pretty good.
Little snifter. I guess at 10.2, it better be or whatever it is. But anyway, so the sours, I mean, there's almost kind of been a renaissance in the sour genre in the world of beer, right?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And there's just so many different styles, and they're good with all the different styles of food, and foodie people are really gravitating. There's a absolute renaissance in the beer industry right now, where we're doing a lot of beer pairings and with different kinds of foods, and people are really getting into that. And it's nice to see, because people really want to know more about beer, and that's that makes me happy, obviously.
And are you finding that trend through the requests and the appetite of those beers from your customers and your clients on the retail side? I mean, is there a sort of a great demand for the sours coming from the restaurants and bars themselves?
I don't think it's really there yet. I think there's a small margin of people that are really interested in that style of beer, but I think that it's growing, and you'll find places that do a whole rail of sours and tastings, and it's pretty nice.
I mean, it's nice. Yeah, it's innovation in the world of beer,
and
in fact, Ed Sipos in the sequel, I'm sure he'll begin the next chapter on this.
I don't know how can you get a next chapter to this book?
What
this book is amazing.
No, it really is.
15 years.
This is
work.
Like I've never seen anything. I was just telling Ed that my brother, who's my business partner, his father-in-law wrote 5 books about brewing and breweries in California and in the craft beer world. And I've never seen anything like this.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing, and you can get it here at Barrio Brewing Company for $30.
That's unbelievable. and I think Dennis, the first he sent me an email once I first got the book, and I sent him a note, and I said, have you actually seen this book yet? And he said, there is a metric ton of interesting stuff in this book.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
this is just, I mean, almost quite
this
literally.
This is absolutely a labor of love, and hats off to Ed, because the research that he had to do behind this, and I know that Dennis always loves to tell a story about a brewery or what happened or back in the day. He's a history buff, and Dennis knows a lot of things about a lot of things. But Ed really dove deep here.
Yeah.
This is
well, like Dennis
amazing.
Said, 15 years of research going into this
Absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely.
So, and if we just want to remind our fellow foodie listeners to come on down to Barrio Brewing Company. We're broadcasting live on the corner of 16th and Toole, just south of downtown. You know, listen for the choo choo, because whenever the train comes down and the rail pints, you get a little bit of a discount on beer. I mean, not like he needs a discount. I mean, the beers are very affordable here at Barrio. But anyway, Ed Sipos, the author of Brewing Arizona, is here. He's signing books. He's going to give a little talk here right after the show is done. You're actually going to be able to engage him in conversation about some of these wonderful errors of these crusty characters from the Arizona beer world. I just can't say enough about this great book, and it's only $30 if you come on down here and buy it. So, Dennis Arnold, before we go to a news break and before we bring Ed on, I saw something in the news not too long ago, and, you and your lovely wife are constantly innovating, and did I see it right where you're actually sort of integrating beer and dessert? I mean, how is beer and ice cream, or beer and gelato, how did that all come about?
Darwin. Absolutely.
Of course.
So when you're done with drinking, you go to dessert, then you can still have that. So we're actually really, really happy with the gelato thing. And once it got to being able to incorporate beer into the gelato, we're trying to figure out how we can do alcohol gelato, because we have college students going, hi, can I have a taste of that? Well, can I see your ID? Because it does have alcohol in it. So this is new. I mean, there's no footprints in the snow or sand as far as it goes. So we're like, we've done a lot of like for friends and family and stuff. And now we're just stepping lightly to figure out how we deal with the Department of Alcohol Control,
if somebody gets gelato, can they walk outside with
it? Oh, well, interesting.
Yeah, because
right?
it's still 3% alcohol.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're law-abiding citizens.
Of course you are.
And drinkers.
And drinkers. And his gelato is absolutely amazing.
I had some at
Sunday at Channel Ben's, and it's really incredible. I mean, Dennis, you think it's just all about beer, but
I channeled my Italian in this one.
Well,
my wife did. This was her thing, and it's a short story of a 30-year relationship between my wife and I. Said we're absolutely not doing that, which guaranteed that we're definitely doing that.
Absolutely, that's how it happens.
So, beer and gelato. Is it a Mocha Java Stout? Gelato?
You know, they were doing Mocha Java Stout, and we're doing a couple others. But I mean, not only that, we're doing like a port blueberry,
beautiful,
and some things like that. And right now I'm working on this one. I'm taking up to the Hungry Monk in Phoenix for a bacon and beer thing.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to use our Rojo and Chipotle bacon.
Oh, God bless you.
To make a gelato to take up so they can actually just take it off the charts.
I hope all the foodies heard that.
They certainly did. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Thank a couple of sponsors. We're going to come back with Ed Cipos himself. Friends, you're listening to On the Menu live on AM 790 KNST. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness at Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Toole, just south of downtown. Having a great time. I'm on my second Barrio Blanco with our celebrity co-host for the full hour. Mr. Dennis Arnold is back in the house.
Still in the house because it's my job.
Do you ever leave?
You know what? Yes, I do. I'm rarely here at night.
But anyway, we should take just about a minute or so to officially dedicate this show. The Honorable Jack Arnold, your father, was a pioneering man in the beer business, sat on the Superior Court here on Pima County, and he lived a long and rich and rewarding life. And we celebrate his life today on this show, and we are thankful for his bringing you into our lives and your seven brothers and sisters. So this show is all about Jack Arnold and everything, all the good he did in this community.
I thank you so very much for that. I think his biggest accomplishment is none of his eight children ended up in prison.
Yet.
Nobody.
Yet.
No,
well, let's
come
keep
on.
That legacy
on.
Alive.
My father was an amazing man. My mom, 61 years, and if I can do even just a portion of what my dad did in his life, I'll die happy.
Beautiful. Well, you're well on your way, sir.
Well, you're well on your way.
Anyway, thank you so much. And here we are sitting with the man himself, the man who has made a lot of friends today, the author of Brewing Arizona. And as I said, if Arizona had a department of beer, this man would be in the running for secretary. The Honorable Ed Cipos is with us. How are you,
yeah,
sir?
Napolitano would have finished second.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So I don't even know where to begin. I mean, you have invested so much of your time and your energy and your enthusiasm into this book, and you don't take this lightly. I mean, we're talking about 150 years of tradition of brewing beer in Arizona. How in the world did someone like Ed Cipos get involved in this massive project?
You know, that's funny because I am not from the brewing industry. You know, I actually grew up in the jewelry trade. But one of my passions from early on, I was always a collector. And one of my passions was beer. And even before I could drink beer, I was collecting beer cans. So it just kind of developed over the years. And the more I got into it, I luckily came of age at a time when the craft beer was starting to take off.
Right.
So I was able to visit a lot of the early craft breweries and just kind of ended up loving it. And one of the inspirations, I think, to do this book was when I met some of the former members of the Arizona Brewing Company. And they used to invite me out to their picnics. I think I went to three different ones. And I got to meet these people and talk to them, and they were just so passionate about their past. So I just kind of started developing the story, and it just kind of grew into something much bigger than I ever expected.
337 pages, to be exact.
And believe it or not, cut back over 100 pages before I went to print.
I can imagine. tell us who the Arizona Brewing Company was.
The Arizona Brewing Company began in 1934, right after Prohibition ended. And that was in Phoenix. And in the beginning, it went through a succession of owners, but its claim to fame was A1 Pilsner Beer, and the owner that purchased the brew is Joe Lancer, and he purchased it in 1942, and A1 was introduced in 43. And by the mid-1950s, it was the best-selling beer in Arizona.
So besides Mr. Lancer being a draft dodger, what other beers did he have?
Well, you know, I don't get into the dirt in the book.
That's for the sequel, right?
Yeah, that's true. He had quite a few beers. You know, Apache beer was actually preceded A1, and that was introduced in the 1934. That was under different ownership, and they brewed that all the way to 42. When A1 Pilsner came out, most of the other brands were dropped. Another beer that was brewed for a long time was Elderbrow.
Right.
And that came out in 46. And it was, 36 mm-hmm. or 38, I can't remember. I got to look at my book. Anyways,
I'm sorry, my 12-pack's on top of it.
You know, you serve these strong beers here, Dennis. It's kind of hard to keep up.
That's okay, I'm the strong guy. Yeah.
But anyways, they did have a variety of beers out there. And Dutch Street was one of them. That was, I think it was an A.J. Bayless brand. And you can buy that beer all the way through the 80s.
When did A1 come along?
It was 1942. 43. January
43.
Okay. 43. And what kind of beer was it? A lot of people talk about the, you know, back in the days. It changed over time, didn't it?
Yeah, it was always a Pilsner beer, but I think as it developed, you know, with the whole thing with adjuncts and everything, it probably changed the recipe. And the beer did get lighter, mostly in the 60s. They did change the recipe when they changed the name to Lancer's beer. It was Lancer's A1. Hmm. And it was a cost-cutting measure. I mean, it was a time when consolidation was really taking over the entire industry. Since the mid-1930s, there was a decline in the number of breweries across the country.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And that continued all the way through the 80s. I mean, literally, there were some people predicting that in the 1980s that if it were to continue, only 5 breweries would be less by the year 2000.
Oh, my God.
That was in the 70s, and I want to say it was like 75 or 76,
yeah.
When the federal government finally said, we're going to do something and try to pass the Small Brewers Act. Right. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a beer called Bob or whatever.
Yeah. A beer called Bob.
Just one.
Actually,
one.
It's like it was
there,
gonna be,
there is a beer called Bob. Okay.
It was going to be like you. It was going to be the Henry Ford. You can have any beer you want as long as it's black. You know.
Well, we haven't drank a Dennis beer yet, have we?
Not yet.
I don't think you won't. That's my private.
Right. We've had Nolan. We've had Taylor. Lizzie on the salad dressing and all that good stuff. But anyway, you know, your book really begins, you know, chronologically. It begins the very early days. And I love the way the book is put together from an aesthetic perspective. These great photographs, these great, you know, the beer art, the labels, the packaging, the signage outside of some of these great territorial brewers. I just love it. And we celebrate all of the entire story from the southern border to the northern border, far east, far west. Let's talk about the history of southern Arizona brewing. So, I mean, I think, as Dennis will attest, I mean, the entire state in terms of brewing got really started down here, did it not?
It did. In 1864, Alexander Levine opened the Pioneer Brewery, and that was in Tucson. And obviously, brewing methods were very crude back then. And
primitive.
Primitive, yeah. And, yeah, I think you should try one of those sometime.
You know, I don't want to sit around and spit in the pot.
Is there a recipe nearby?
But, you know, I actually discussed this with Dennis last time I was out here about what the beer might have tasted like or what. But, I mean, you figure they had to cool the beer after the boil in these cool ships or something to get it down to temperature to be able to pitch the yeast. So obviously, contamination would have been an issue or a wild yeast or whatever.
Right.
So,
from a brewer's perspective, I read the galleys of this book back in January, and my mind was blown. It never dawned on me how beer was made 150 years ago. So when you think about the materials coming in,
right,
sure, you could probably bring the malt in, but they didn't. They brought barley in and tried to malt it on site, which is just...
What about the water?
Crazy. Tucson has amazing water. So that actually comes into later as to why Phoenix lagged so badly in the brewing history of Arizona, or educational and brewing, it seems to be a trend. That how you could get the barley here and you couldn't, and then what would you do about hops? And then
critically, the most temperature-sensitive thing is the yeast.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you're like crossing the Atlantic Ocean with some sourdough and you're going to San Francisco and you got bread. That doesn't work for beer. So that's my biggest thing is, and then fermentation temperatures. It had to be just like such a throwback into the Middle Ages on how to brew beer here. I was so humbled by what people did in order to do it. And Ed had the best point. And it was ironic in that what brought beer to southern Arizona were the Indians.
That's right.
And I was like, gosh, that's so odd because, you know, all the challenges that the tribes have had. And it had to do with bringing the military here to suppress the Indians, and the military needed beer, much like the British did many hundreds of years before them. And then how that whole thing would transpire. And, you know, all you needed was a big copper pot, and then you could build your mash tun out of wood. And I'm like, oh my god, that is how it happened. This is crazy.
And you,
or Ed's making it all up. I don't know.
And the look on your face as you're doing it right now, which is why this needs to be a TV show, is exactly what I'm saying. You sit down, you open this book, and you're committing a couple of hours at least.
You're just falling down a rabbit hole of beer, beer hole, right. I guess is what it would be. But it's like crazy stuff.
And you know, wind me up.
There's a great book that was that I use a lot of that information. It was called John Springs, Arizona, and it was actually published. It's out of print, but it was published in the 1964. And it actually has a little bit of information about early brewing methods. But one of the things that John Springs said that one of the things that forced the military to come out here was during the wars of the Indians and everything. And that created a larger military presence. And obviously with a larger military presence, there's going to be people that want to drink beer. And a lot of those, there's a lot of Prussian-born brewers coming out, and it just kind of developed, and my phone's ringing in my pocket.
Well, speaking of phones ringing, this is a very good time to remind our foodie listeners that we are going to actually be giving away a signed copy of Brewing Arizona to one of our listeners. We're going to actually be doing a trivia question in just a few minutes, and whoever is the first person to call in with the right answer to the question, not only are you going to get a signed copy of Brewing Arizona, you're also going to get a gift certificate to experience Barrio Brewing and Dennis Arnold for yourself.
And the question is...
Oh, not yet!
No, not yet! I was just making it up in my head.
I know, well, you got 5.5 minutes before we do that. But anyway, you mentioned John Spring. And, you know, one of the things I loved about the book is getting introduced to some of these salty characters. You know, people like you said, Alexander Levine and John Slaughter. And there's all these great, there's a great cast of characters that I guess we can sort of consider the founding fathers of Arizona, you know, brewing history. Is there one guy that sort of stands out when you take a look back at the 150 years of these great, proud brewing traditions in Arizona? Is there one guy that sort of is a manifestation of the grit and the determination and the courage that's required to sort of say, we're, you know, putting a stake in the ground and we're going to do some great beer here in the Grand Canyon State?
Well, when it comes to brewing, I mean, obviously you'd have to point to Alexander Levine because he was the first. And he's the one that really laid it down, the groundwork. And he was, I mean, where he got his equipment, if he brought it down by pack mule or whatever, who knows, or if he built it right here in Tucson.
Yeah, copper mines. And then, so that was like six. And you go down to his demise in your book. And I was like, oh, I hope that's not me.
Absolutely.
ends up kind of like, you know, after trying to do the whorehouses or whatever, and ends up in
well,
the,
you know what? You can pick your skull, right?
So I was like, yeah, I read the book. That's crazy because they came and went. And you know, not to jump ahead, but so you had all these entrepreneurs out here trying to do, you know, breweries, and this is pre-statehood. And at the end of the day, all the breweries went away when the railroads came.
Yeah.
And that's just like, wow.
But you know what? I mean, and we came full circle. I mean, starting out with the microbreweries and everything, and it's starting out back with homebrewers. I mean, what was it? Historically, homebrewers were the first people brewing beer, right?
Yeah.
And then they, wow, I could sell my beer. And all of a sudden, they're selling their beer, and that's how the commercial brewery came about. And
it's funny because later, that's how our business got started on because of the railroad. I mean, because they were able
to
brew beer and ship it across country.
And that's actually because of the railroad is, you know, I mean, you had brewing centers like St. Louis and San Francisco.
Ice
and
houses.
Milwaukee.
Ice
houses.
Big deal.
Exactly. Big ice houses, big brewers that became huge, and they began shipping their beer further and further out. And as soon as it reached in 1880s, 1890s in Arizona, that's when all the breweries figured out, you know what, it's not cost-effective, continue brewing when this beer with a longer shelf life and probably better quality in some instances was being sold right in their backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
So they just
honestly, the quality issue was true at that time. I don't know how. I'm born and raised Tucson. I think there's some months I could brew here, but if I had no ability to control temperature,
yeah.
Because beer is three things: the ingredients, time, and temperature. And any of those three get off, you're back to being, you know, people in South America chewing corn and spitting in a pot.
You're right. Well, yeah, I love the visuals we're creating here. But anyway, we talk a lot about sort of the pioneering days here in the 1800s and some of the early, you know, the founding fathers. But when we say this is a history, the history leads up almost until yesterday. I mean, you've really done a great job of capturing the current sort of buzz around the craft beer scene. And I bet, you know, you're probably at work right now on the sequel, because I think five breweries have opened since this show started an hour ago.
You know, that's one of the things that I wanted I wanted to make sure that I was as up-to-date as possible before the book went to print. Because I didn't want this to be a history book when it is a history book. I didn't want it to be old information coming out. And luckily, during the process of going through and editing, the book came back to me, and they gave me opportunities to update it. And I just started throwing things in there that I could, as long as it fit in and it didn't mess with the... you know, the book, the whole thing, and it worked out.
Well, so. I would say the masses that are here today are celebrating the direction that you took, because you've captured it in a wonderful way. The spirit of the story is told in a glorious way, and we know that there are many more stories to tell long after this radio show is done. For those in our listening audience that are not able to get down to Barrio, first of all, shame on you. But number two, if you're not able to get down here, how can people get a hold of this book if they're not here on site right now?
You know, I have my website, brewingarizona.com. I'm going to try to keep up to date on any signings that might come up. We're going to have our next book signing in Scottsdale. It's going to be at Four Peaks off of Frank Lloyd Wright in Hayden.
Great.
And that's on November 6th, this Wednesday.
Okay, great.
But other than that, I mean, go ahead and go online, and brewingarizona.com is the way to go.
Brewingarizona.com, you're going to have everything you need to know. You can purchase the book. You can get information on where Ed's going to be. So anyway, thank you so much. Congratulations. So stick around with us for the rest of the show, because we're going to be sort of closing out this great story. But Dennis, you have an idea for the trivia question of the week. Now, you know, we can't be too easy and we can't be too hard. It's that sweet spot in the middle that you got to find. And whoever calls in right now with the right answer to this question is going to get a signed copy of Brewing Arizona and a gift card to come on down here to Barrio and have some beer and have some great food. What's the question of the week?
After the state of Arizona decided to allow craft brewing, who were the first two brewers in the state of Arizona?
In the state?
Not the breweries. The actual people.
No. All right, so
don't you want
people to win this?
Yeah, so my kid's at home with the answer. Ask A on that. So... who are the first? Give me one of the two.
One of the two. All right, and do it one more time. What's the? Yeah, yeah.
The first brewer in the state of Arizona.
The first brewer.
He would be. He would be my. Who would be Abraham?
Okay,
but that's not his name.
That's right. Okay. Who was the first brewer in the state of Arizona? If you think you know the answer to the question,
Modern Times.
If you think you know, give us a call right now at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from Barrio Brewing Company on the corner of 16th and Tool, having a great time with our celebrity co-host Dennis Arnold from Barrio, Kimberly Clements from Golden Eagle Distributors, and the author extraordinaire, Arizona's Beer Laureate. Can we call him a laureate?
Well,
yeah,
I would think
pretty much a laureate.
If he was a laureate, wouldn't you like rope somebody?
From not a laureate.
Author of Brewing Arizona, yeah. Eric Sipos is here. You know, I thought we had a stumper. I thought, and no one in a million years is going to be able to know who was the first Modern Times brewer in the state of Arizona, but some guy's called in. He thinks he knows the answer to the question, and I so desperately want to treat him to a lunch, happy hour, or dinner here at Barrio and to have him enjoy one of these
great
books.
I'll give him credit for just trying.
Just give him credit for just trying. Okay, Jim is on the phone. Jim, what's the answer?
I think it's a Pioneer Brewery.
A Pioneer Brewery. So we had there was a little disclaimer there.
Swing and a miss, modern times. But you know what? We're going to give it to you anyway. It's the 1st of November.
Jim, this is your lucky day.
Okay, it's like going to public school. Everybody wins.
Everyone gets a medal.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh! I already have one.
Okay, we have another caller. Okay, first of all, Jim, I'm starting to blush now because Jim is a very good friend. I haven't seen Jim in 20 years. Jim, I'm so excited to see you here. My goodness
and
gracious.
And he was standing behind us and heard the answer.
But anyway, we do have another caller. He already has it, but I'm going to buy him a beer anyway.
He works for the NSA.
Okay, we're going to go back to the studio and see. Who do we have on the line? Caller, are you with us? They hung up because we were having too much fun. All right,
Chinese brewer.
Let's do another question. Let's do another question for a Barrio gift card and a signed copy of Brewing Arizona. Something a little bit more recognizable in terms of modern fact fun trivia about Barrio, about beer.
What's Kimberly Clement's middle name?
Oh my goodness! You guys are horrible.
You are.
Well, let's see. Let's reward someone just for calling in. If you want to guess what Kimberly Clement's middle name is, call here at 880-567-880-KNST for a chance to win a gift card for Barrio Brewing, as well as a signed copy of Brewing Arizona, written by Ed Sipos and our good friends back at KNST at the intergalactic headquarters of Clear Channel Media and Communications. Will let us know when we have a caller in bold enough to guess Kimberly Clement's middle name. Anyway, Ed Sipos, so you're a jeweler by trade.
Yeah.
You didn't grow up a craft beer enthusiast, but now you are an oracle of wisdom in the history of Arizona beer. What do you like to drink? I mean, when you're going down the road and you pull into a watering hole and belly up to the bar.
I like IPAs.
You like IPAs a hot
dog? But I have been experimenting with different beer styles out there because I found myself in a crutch. I mean, every time I went to bar, the first thing I ordered is an IPA, and there's so many styles out there. Mostly today, I mean, brewers are brewing some phenomenal beers.
Amazing
and everybody beers. Is coming out with this stuff you never even heard of, and old-style beers that haven't been around forever.
Okay, so we do have a caller who thinks, you know, Kimberly Clement's middle name. Caller, are you with us? Hello, you're on the menu live.
Hi there. I just wanted to guess Kimberly's middle name.
Okay, so what is Kimberly's middle name?
I'm guessing it's Kimberly Ann.
Ann, she says.
Very yes, good. It is.
Okay, really? Now,
thanks, Mom.
Hi, Mrs. Clements. So nice to hear. So nice to hear
it's
from
not
you.
Mrs. Clements.
Okay, well, I know Jenny's voice. Okay, so I don't know where you fall in the Clements family
is
tree.
Is that A-N-A-N-N or A-N-N-E? We really do need, because we have multiple callers.
Okay, so Ann, congratulations. Somehow.
I can't believe
somehow
that
you nailed
know that.
Someone knows
yeah.
the answer. So
way
don't,
go.
I don't, I, how in the world did you know, Colin?
Oh, it's a beautiful name.
Name for a beautiful
thank
woman.
Thank you. It was named after my grandmother.
Okay, so caller, thank you so much for
and
listening.
And Krikorian.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank
and congratulations. You are now the proud owner of a signed copy of Brewing Arizona, as well as a gift card to come on in here and experience Barrio Brewing
That's
Company
awesome.
For yourself.
Awesome. What a great gift.
Well, thank you so much.
Don't go away because the engineer back at the studio is going to get your information. We're going to get all that out to you in the mail.
Oh, hold on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, my. So, no way. There's just no way.
I know.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
So, anyway, again, we're talking to Ed Sipos, author of Brewing Arizona. We want to make sure that all of our listeners know, go to brewingarizona.com to get the whole story, to get the inspiration, to find out where Ed's going to be as he travels the state of Arizona. And you can buy the book right there. Ed Sipos, thank you so much for
thank
taking
you.
Some time out of your very busy schedule.
And thank you for Dennis and for having this whole thing together.
Yes,
over here.
Thank you.
I've just got to say this. I was in awe when I read this book. This is how I make my living, and I never understood that there was people that actually had to design a submarine that would go underwater and travel for a while. I just showed up and signed up and then said, oh, this is all stuff. And you put in. I can't believe you're married, because I would think that you were in a monastery,
you know, luckily
trying
she's
to figure
very
this
supportive.
Stuff out. You know, you're, it's and I'm so just honored to be in the book. It's amazing. If anybody's interested in Arizona, if anybody's interested in how life was 150 years ago, this book really puts it in detail.
It's a great labor of love.
Thank you. It is. And thank you to all the brewers that made it become a reality, because if it wasn't for all the brewers, how would we do a book on brewing Arizona, right?
Indeed. And the story continues. So, Kimberly Clements, what can we expect? Where are you off to now? You've got a busy fall coming up. Where are you headed as you travel the world?
I am going to San Antonio tomorrow for a beer conference, and then off to Boulder to meet with a brewery.
Wow. So. And can I carry your bags? That would be Kimberly and Clements.
So.
Anyway, thank you so much, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
Clements,
my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And Brewing Arizona is an amazing book.
Thank
and
you.
It's awesome to finally meet Ed. So thank
Great.
You and to Dennis for hosting us today.
We want to remind all of our fellow foodie listeners that if you tune in next week, Saturday at 4 o'clock, you're going to hear me live, broadcasting live from the Mirage on the Las Vegas Strip. We're going to have a great time in Sin City. And if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show in its entirety, including all of the times that we mentioned the word foodie, for which John Farlow had a beer, the entire show is going to be up on our website, On the Menu Live, .com next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On the Menu Live. Have a great weekend!